This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. The International Transport Workers Federation, the ITF, is the global union federation which represents air, land, and sea transport workers at the world level. In the past few years, it has been paying particular attention to the wages and working conditions of women transport workers. I talked to Diana Holland about the work the ITF has been doing. Ms. Holland is the Assistant General Secretary of Unite, the union in the UK. She is also the chair of the ITF's Women Transport Workers Committee.
First and foremost, we wanted to make sure that people recognise that women are key to the transport sector and that they play a vital role, a professional role and a skilled role. But we were aware that in many sectors there were not sufficient women employed to represent the proportion they are in the population, and we felt that the roles that they were playing were often belittled or undermined and not recognised. So we carried out a survey and we asked women working in transport, what is your experience of the workplace? What kind of issues are you facing? Do you feel that your employer recognises equalities issues or not? And we had some practical questions about examples of issues that may be important to them that they didn't feel were addressed properly. 10 years later, we carried out the same survey and we identified there'd been some improvements, which is important to stress, I think, and that the unions had managed to make a difference. But I think we also saw that there were areas where that still needed improvement. So if I can be practical, give you some examples. I think across the world, the issue of women's pregnancy and discrimination against women around the whole issue of having children and raising them was something that was recognised everywhere. It's extreme in one country. We had an example where women had enforced pregnancy testing before they were employed because the employer was so determined not to employ anybody who might be about to have a baby. On the other hand, you had examples where we had really good positive maternity policies that made it possible for women to combine working and family responsibilities, which is obviously what our aim is. So what we did when we found out that was an issue was that we produced examples of model agreements of good practice. We looked at the legislation where it was positive and we shared experiences and we offered solidarity to those that were in the most difficult positions. But everybody took some action to improve the position around maternity and family-friendly policies generally. We also looked at men and family-friendly policies because we feel if it's shared between men and women more fairly, it gives better chance for equality too. The other issues that came up, I think, were a lot around uniforms and the appropriateness of some uniforms. There were some where women, for example, were being forced to wear too short skirts or very high heels or things that they felt demeaned their role rather than meant that they were, in, for example, in cabin crew, safety professionals, and yet perhaps being forced to be identified more by how they looked than about the important job that they were doing. We also looked at the issue of uniforms for women bus drivers, and they were, in some areas, they were just being given a men's uniform, which clearly men and women have different needs and demands, and there were a number of issues there that we needed to address. Again, across the world, the issues may be different, but the principle was the same, that we were going to look at women being treated with dignity and respect and being where there were uniforms required to be worn, that they that would then be part of the policy that would be introduced. And again, we shared experiences and good practice. I think another issue was around working time, and that again links back to family responsibilities and to safety. Were women properly supported around when they had travelling time that was unsocial hours? How were they getting to and from their work in the first place? And what was could the employer do to recognise that, the need for safety and the need for women to be able to do their job? Also, we had extreme examples of where there was pressure on women to have a sexual relationship with somebody who could allocate them a shift that would allow them to be able to look after their family. Horrifying though that is, because I think we in the ITF were asking the question and then following it up with one-to-one contact where we could, we were able to get to some of the truth of some of the things that were going on, which wouldn't come out otherwise. Though there were women there telling their stories, sometimes for the first time. On top of that, of course, we did have examples where there were good practice there was good practice in a workplace where women had been able to negotiate and their union had been able to negotiate with them to get that decent working time that reflected their family responsibilities and that wasn't either too long or forcibly too short. So there was all of that that was included.
So what can trade unions do to help women in the transportation sector?
First and foremost, they can stand up for women and they can say women and men are both together part of the transport sector and are also important workers who need to be recognised. Secondly, we ask women transport workers what they want and what they need. That's going to be the key. Don't tell them, ask them. And thirdly, act on what they've said. So when we asked them, they told us what was important, and then we produced a guide looking at all the different sectors, whether it was civil aviation, road transport, tourism. We also looked at we had people who were lorry drivers as well as bus drivers, people in the docks and waterways. And so we had a really wide cross-section. And sometimes when women were isolated, we need to make sure that they were recognised. So we take seriously the issues that women raised. And we also, through spreading good practice, encouraged all unions to take these issues up. I think alongside this, we recognised that there was a problem of, in some areas, too few women coming through into leadership positions in the union at local level, regional, national and international levels. So we've worked very hard to provide support programmes, encouragement, positive action, rule changes, anything that we could, and again, to share best practice about that. And that has made a difference. Also, every year, we come together on the 8th of March for International Women's Day and say, let's celebrate what we've achieved, but also redouble our efforts to improve the position for women transport workers.